Hospitalitychain.com, the world's first online hub designed for the hospitality, culinary, and catering industry. From leading food and beverage brands to professional food service equipment, Hospitalitychain.com makes sourcing simple. Search, select, buy direct, and save all in one global marketplace. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Fell Into Food Podcast. I am your host, Chef Jeff Fell. This week, we're talking seed oils, and my guest today is Sherry Kalbaum, aka the Juice Lady. She has a Master's of Science in Nutrition, has also authored 36 books that have collectively sold over 3.5 million copies. Her global bestseller, Juicing for Life alone, has empowered 2 million readers to reclaim vitality. Her latest book, The Truth About Seed Oils, exposes how the heart-healthy myth made us sick and how to heal with real fats. From serving as George Foreman's nutritionist to advising the royal family of the UAE, Sherry's influence spans continents and cultures. Sherry, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about a topic that's really trend. I don't know if a trend, but it's very popular today.
The truth about seed oils, right?
Absolutely. Most listeners, they've heard the phrase seed oils are bad 1,000 times on TikTok, other social media, without ever really hearing why. Can you give me the real story and where did these seed oils actually come from?
So it's a dark history, I call it. And it started the turn of the century before last when cotton seeds were piling up and rotting and smelling and people didn't know what to do with them. And it's like, we've got to find a way to use these cotton seeds and let's make oil. So they did produce a dark, smelly oil that was used on machinery. And then they said, why don't we try to refine this and make it not smell and look pretty and roll it out for the American cook? So in the early 1900s, that's what happened, but it was a very small market. And then came World War II. The ships carrying the tropical oils, mainly coconut oil, couldn't make it through the waters. And so the manufacturers of the seed oils, they were then called vegetable oils, said, let's step up manufacturing, advertising, lobbying, and roll it out big time for the American cook. Let's hire cookbook authors and we'll just tell them, the American cook, this is modern and healthy and good for you and better than those old fashioned fats and oils you were using. And so the new seed oil market was born right after the war. Something else happened. Unwanted. Heart disease went up. Heart attacks. All of a sudden in the early 50s, people were just dropping over dead. And Americans were alarmed. And it's like, what's happening? What's going on? Let's get to the bottom of this. So scientists went to work. And doctors. And they found the plaque. We know about, all know about the plaque and the arteries mounding up. Let's look at what's in that, they said. Fat and cholesterol and calcium and other things. Okay, we're going to say no more saturated fat. So out went beef and dairy, cheese, butter, beef tallow, lard, all went out. It was on eggs. We can't have eggs. And let's go with these new modern oils and call them heart healthy and really promote the fact that they are vegetable oils. There's no vegetables in them, but they we'll call them vegetable oils. And so the lipid hypothesis, lipid meaning fat, was born, that saturated fats and coconut oil has some saturated fat in it. And all of these other fats are bad for you. And here's what's good. And did we solve the heart disease, heart attack problem? No, it's still the number one killer. And the few voices of common sense that were crying in the wilderness, I say, were drowned out. They were kind of pushed to the side or demonized because the seed oils companies didn't want to lose their market share. They only funded the research on those that had the right philosophy. And the other scientists and doctors that were trying to bring some common sense were threatened, like, you won't have your nice position teaching at the university, or we won't invite you to speak at conferences. We won't publish your papers. pressure like that. And there were some voices that were strong and brave and said, wait, we lost common sense. We've been eating these fats for centuries. People have eaten butter and lard and tallow and red meat and eggs, and they didn't have these heart problems. So there's something wrong here with this hypothesis, but they weren't listened to. And that's where we are today, but now we have more voices speaking out.
Okay, you mentioned the lipid hypothesis, and that was Ansel Keys, you know, and that's one of the cores to your book. You know, for someone who's never heard of those names, what Keys argues and what does that actually evidence say now?
So Ansel Keys was a physicist, and he was the prominent one during this time. In fact, it was because of Ansel Keys that the lipid hypothesis was born. And he did some research. They now look back and say it looks like rather faulty research, but came to the conclusion that we've got to get rid of all these animal fats and saturated fats and get cholesterol out of our diet, and that these oils, these seed oils, are healthy, heart healthy. Later, down the road, Ansel Keys had a change of thought, and he began to question that lipid hypothesis. But by that time, nobody would listen to him. Nobody wanted to listen to him. And it was ingrained in the American public to fear these fats. And it's still there. People are still kind of afraid of beef tallow or lard. It's like, oh, no, I don't think I ever want to cook with that, you know. But there are plenty of good choices in the oils. We've got the avocado and coconut and olive oil. We've got sesame seed oil. We've got almond and macadamia nut oil. So we're fine. If you don't ever want to go to the animal fats, you don't have to. Some people love ghee, the oil of butter, and that's another good one. And the point of the whole thing is we've got to have some common sense, because we're in a bad place still. We still have heart disease as the number one killer, and we still have cancer usually in the number two position. And both of those conditions in scientific studies are linked to seed oils.
Hmm. Could you take me inside like an actual refinery? Like what happens, right? You have the seed oils that they're getting processed, you know, so from field to like the supermarket shelf, like, you know, right here, boom, you know, I got some sunflower oil. How does that all work? What does that look like between, you know, you hear like hexane and deodorizing and bleaching. So what is actually happening?
Yes. Nasty places. If you've ever seen any clips online of what's happening, it looks pretty gross. Big mounds of seeds, drums of seeds probably are purchased, and they begin to go through the process. They start with crushing in high heat, like about 500 degrees. And that alone right there is toxic because these oils are fragile. They are, if you look at a chemistry lineup of carbons and hydrogens, they have double bonds. They have several double bonds. And that means there's no carbon or hydrogen attached. And you don't need to remember any of that. But what does that double bond mean? They're broken easily. They're fragile oils. They're polyunsaturated oils. And those double bonds break very easily. So just that high heat alone is going to really damage these very fragile oils. But then they go on to hexane, just as you mentioned, bleaching agents, degumming agents, all sorts of chemicals. By the time they roll out and look good and smell good, they are not good for us. They have toxic byproducts like aldehyde, lipid peroxide, little bits of trans fat. Most of us know trans fat is really a bad deal and we don't want to eat Crisco, right? But there's some trans fat in these oils as well because of all this processing. And so these toxic byproducts are what is damaging cells. They're the free radicals. They go in, like I call them, little torpedoes and damage cells throughout our body.
Hmm. Interesting. So like compared to like traditional fats, you know, talk to me about omega-6, omega-3 ratios, like comparative, like, again, what our ancestors ate with natural seeds and just nuts and things they found and what they would have. What is the ratio matter when it comes to inflammation?
It's huge. So we do need omega-6 fatty acids, and we need omega-3s. And there's omega-9, obviously, too. But the two most important ones are omega-6 and 3s. We should have a balance in our diet of about 1-to-1 to 4 to 1, 4 omega-6 fatty acids to 1 omega-3 fatty acids. Well, what's happening, because we have so much seed oil in everything, because manufacturers love it, because it's cheap, it's odorless, tasteless, they can saturate their products with it, and it tastes moist and yummy, and it picks up flavors, they don't have to spend as much money for high-quality oils. So it's saturated in our diets. Most people are eating seed oils breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we're getting a ratio that's way out of whack. So we're getting, it's estimated somewhere between 15 to 1 to maybe 20 to 1. And we should be 4 to 1 max in, in omega-6. But what happens? Omega-6 produces, too much produces inflammation throughout our body. Well, at the core, at the root of every disease, every ailment, anything that's plaguing you is inflammation. And it's chronic inflammation, low grade, for many, many, many conditions. So it means it never ends. It's like a little fire going on in your body and you never can put it out, right? And so, well, how do we bring balance? We have to up our omega-3s, increase those. And what are the foods primarily of omega-3s? Hemp seed oil, flax seed oil, walnuts, walnut oil, walnut milk, fatty cold water fish like salmon or sardines. I say that and most people go on tilt, like, nah, I don't eat much of those. So, and then of course, you know, little bits in other foods, like you just mentioned, the nuts and seeds and whole foods and whole ancient grains. But we're not getting very much omega-3s. And so we need to up that and really decrease the omega-6s. When we do that, boy, a lot of people notice they're feeling a whole lot better.
Sherry, I want to put the strongest counter argument to you so listeners hear both sides. In 2025, correct me if I'm wrong, JAMA International Medicine study found people with the highest seed oil intake were 16% less likely to die over the study window than those with the lowest. John Hopkins, Stanford, HA and MSK all currently say linoleic acid does not raise inflammation in randomized trials. How do you reconcile that body of evidence with your thesis?
Well, you know, first of all, you have to ask who paid for the study. That's way back to my master's degree in nutrition. Our professors drilled that home. Who paid for the study? Because when you have a certain outcome in mind, you pretty much can get there if you want to. We do need omega-6s. So I don't know what kinds of oil they used. You know, if you're using like you held up a safflower, I think, or a sunflower oil, and it's cold pressed, and it's done the right way, which there isn't much on the market. If you just go to your regular grocery store, you won't find it. They might have been using that. I don't know what oils they were using. But I do know when you look prospectively back and you look at where the seed oil started and where we are today, we haven't improved any. Heart disease hasn't been corrected. But there are all these other studies that point to problems.
Do you think it's like the chicken and the egg type thing with, like, you always hear about the you know, doctors and stuff don't want you to be healthy because they need patients to be sick. So this, like, cycle, I always hear about the cycle of they want to keep you sick so that way they can keep health care. And does that kind of go back to that study of, like, you just don't know who's funding it and putting out that research data?
What you said is so true. There is not much incentive for healthy people because who makes any money off that? So what we're finding, who is paying for the studies, who is promoting, and who's funding the lobbyists, who's funding the pyramids. We've just had a change in the food pyramid, and it's good. It's so much better than it was. But who's behind all of this is what we have to ask. And so we need to be wise shoppers, wise thinkers, and use common sense. Because we're always being manipulated with good ads and and companies wanting to promote their product.
So what do you think about with ultra-processed foods, right? We're attributing a lot of the disease and things from the oils, but do you believe it also plays a factor in all of these ultra-processed foods that we have, that it's just an adding layer to the whole problem? Because in my mind, I think, okay, if I took, you know, a seed oil at home and fried something, but it's pure, right? It's just, I don't know, potatoes, and I'm making some French fries, but I didn't do anything crazy with the potato. I just fried the potato in a seed oil versus something that you're getting from the supermarket that's been refined, processed. How much of it is the oil and how much of it is the, you know, the ultra processed food piece of it?
Oh, yeah, what a great question, because it's all of the above. And I always point to that we have to look at the chemicals, the processing, the additives, dyes, the sugars. All of that is going into damaging our bodies.
So what? Okay, somebody's at home and they are using, right? I got this big old tub of Crisco right here, vegetable oil that, you know, I use every so often here in the studio to fry. You know, how does somebody at home that, you know, costs, they're always cost conscious, you know, you see these on the shelves and they're a fraction of the price compared to a peanut oil or a tallow. I mean, tallow alone for a tiny little jar is $19, $20. What do you say to those folks that maybe don't have access or can't swap out an oil?
Well, the big box stores now have avocado oil, olive oil, better prices for sure. But, you know, I always say, when we're pinching our pennies at one end, what price are we paying at another? What's happening to our health because of that? And so we have to consider that maybe I'm paying a few cents more right now, but I'm helping for the future. I'm not going to have to pay for drugs, sick days, and problems with emotions, body. Seed oils have been connected to anxiety and depression and aggression. You know, when you think about the whole picture, what do we spend our money on? How much do we pay for over-the-counter drugs? How much do we pay for counseling? How much copay do we pay for prescription drugs? So in one sense, it is a great investment. If you have a few extra dollars to invest in your health right now, it is the best investment you could make. Invest in you.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's pay now or pay later. It's a philosophy that I live with. People look at my grocery bill and they would be shocked. Like, oh my gosh, you spend how much on groceries? But there's a reason that I do it, because I have that in mind. And again, this may be 30, 40, 50 years out, but I see people that are in their even 50s, 60s, and they're on a whole slew of drugs and going to the doctor constantly. And it's like, well, was that a byproduct of the choices you made earlier in life, especially with your eating and what you consumed, mixed with exercise or lack thereof? And now you have to pay. And people say, I can't afford the drugs. I can't afford to be healthy. And it's like, well, maybe if we shifted some of the narrative of take care of yourself now, that in the future you won't have to, or it's more of a steady across the board, because you're not going to end up putting all that money into drugs and doctor's appointments and all those type of things.
Oh, absolutely. So many people have said to me when they changed their diet and they got on a different program, like I'm recommending, of whole foods and minus the seed oils, minus the sugar, minus the fast food, junk food, refined food, their health changed and their whole family changed. I've had many young moms say, wow, my kids aren't getting sick like they did before. They aren't getting the colds and the flus. So what we are doing today is building the body of tomorrow. The choices you make, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, the choices you make for exercise, the choices you make for good mental health, that's building your body of tomorrow. And so extremely important that we take care of this body, because we only get one, and it's our walk through life, and we can be miserable or we can feel great. And you're right. So many people are spending so much money on drugs. My husband's aunt was spending like $600 a month out of her own pocket, and they were extremely strapped for money, and because they were on a fixed income. And here's $600 a month. I thought, wow, $600 a month extra. Think of all the great food you could buy. Think of all the supplements you could buy, how you could prevent disease, how you could correct problems. Because prescription drugs, as far as anything I've ever looked at, do not get to the root of the problem. They manipulate what you've got going on. But what we're talking about gets to the root of the problem and begins to correct things throughout your body.
You said anxiety, depression. I wouldn't think of a food product, you know, causing those things. How are those two things specifically linked to seed oils?
So they've done studies, and we have them all in chapter two of The Truth About Seed Oils, that they've linked in studies anxiety, depression, and aggression to seed oils. And so it's all there with the scientific studies, and very interesting. I don't believe it's just seed oils. I believe it's a host of things. Sugar also in studies is linked to what I just named, anxiety, depression, and aggression, and also chemicals, and also our very stressful lives. Many people live very, very stressful lives. People are not sleeping well at night. Lack of sleep also has been linked to those. So we have to look at the whole picture, but we're talking about seed oils now. Why not avoid those? Be a wise shopper. Buy better oils to cook with or fats, and do everything that you can, and avoid refined sugar, and do some mental health things. Try to de-stress as much as you can, and exercise. All of it fits together. As a nutritionist, I have to look at a whole picture. I know there are people out there saying, oh, it's just seed oils, right? And even doctors, I've heard one, just seed oils. Well, it isn't just seed oils, but they're a big factor, and they're a villain in this whole story. So we can do a whole lot on our part to avoid them by reading labels, by choosing products that have better oils in them. And there are more and more products coming on the market now. I see avocado oil mayonnaise, and I see chips cooked in beef tallow or avocado oil or olive oil, crackers with a good oil in them, not a seed oil. So we can just start taking our phone, take a picture. I did that the other day, blow it up because it's a little teeny print and it's very hard to read what's in there. But it's very good to read what's in there and to know what you're consuming and feeding to your family.
Yeah, you yourself, you know, in your 20s, healed yourself from chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia. Let's give a little ray of hope of how you realized, you know, food might be the way out to curing, you know, what you had going on.
Well, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because yes, I was so sick in my 20s. I had chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, a bad case. I couldn't work. I had to move back home and sleep. I'd sleep 12 hours a day and wake up tired, want to go back to bed a couple hours later. I couldn't exercise. Just the thought of walking around the block, I thought, I don't even know if I'd make it. I felt like I had the flu all the time. It's just a nasty condition, low-grade fever, swollen glands, feel just nasty from morning to night. And I went to some doctors and nobody knew what to do. They didn't know what to tell me. So I thought, I've got to figure this out. I've got to find a way out of this hole, this dark hole I've fallen into, and I know there's a way out. My whole future was ahead. I had lots of plans. I wanted to write books. I've now written 36, but I hadn't written any then. And I thought, and I want to complete my degree, and I want to get married, and I want to travel, and I want to do all these things. I can't do anything. So I went to some health food stores and talked to people there and just learned I'm doing everything all wrong, right? I love junk food and fast food. I hated vegetables. I was a sugaraholic. On top of that, my mother died of breast cancer when I was six. So I definitely had some emotional baggage. And I learned about juicing and changing my diet. I bought my first juicer. I went on my 5-day juice fast. On day number 5, my body expelled a tumor about the size of a golf ball. It had blue blood vessels attached, about 4 or 5 of them. When I went back to school to get my degree, I learned that's called angiogenesis, and it's the growth of blood vessels to tumors to feed it. That's what I was seeing. I also learned about what I call nature's or God scissors that cut off that blood supply. Phytonutrients like apigenin and luteolin, powerful. There's many of them, many different names, and they're replete in our vegetables and fruit. I was doing mostly vegetable juices. So I was drinking nature scissors and giving my body just pure food for 5 days. And boy, it went on a mission. And I was young. The younger you are, I think the faster your body can hop to it and get to the healing process. So I got rid of that and I thought, wow, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and feel great, be like a new person. No, my body was on a journey. I was on a 2-step forward, maybe a step back here and there of detoxing, healing, rejuvenating. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to stick with this. I'm going to keep juicing and adding in, though now, whole foods. I didn't even know to call them whole foods then, just organic. I could find organic. So I did a lot of salads and soups and stews and stir fries and tons of vegetables and ancient grains and legumes like beans, lentils, split peas. I went mostly vegan that summer. And in 3 months, I was well. I woke up one morning and thought, somebody gave me a new body in the middle of the night. I felt like fabulous. I felt like jogging. So I thought, that's the best cure I've ever could imagine. And it didn't cost me very much. So I'm going back to Southern California, my friends, my old way of life, because I thought this is the best cure. We think in the West about cures, you know. And so back to my friends, they were going out for pizza and cheeseburgers and fries and all of that stuff. And I thought, oh, I can just join right in now. No, my symptoms started coming back. And that's when it dawned on me, I need to have a different way of life. I need to prepare good foods. I need to eat right. And this has got to be my path. And being a typical American, I wanted to know how much I could get away with. How many bites can I have of that stuff? Can I have 2, 3, 4? I soon learned, because the cleaner you get, the more your body talks to you. I couldn't have a whole lot. I had to walk a more narrow line of real whole foods. And what I got a payoff, though. When you do that, you get a payoff. You feel good. If you get sick, like I did just have a cold, but you bounce back a whole lot faster than if you're not strong and you don't have a strong immune system and you don't know what to do or what juices to drink or foods to eat or smoothies to make, you know, to help your body repair and heal faster. It just amazed me so much at how effective diet was that I went back to school and got my master's in nutrition so I could be a credible source and help people to find their way, because there is a way for everybody. And I've worked with so many people. I have so many stories, but I just have to tell you one quick one of a young mom who got migraine headaches all the time and no one could figure it out, not her naturopathic doctor or anyone. And then she decided to avoid seed oils completely, as much as she could. It's pretty hard to completely, but as much as she could. And her headaches went away and they've never come back. Go figure.
Wow. Yeah. If you listen to your body, you have to really listen. I could say the same thing. Me and my family don't consume a lot of fried foods. Like, we don't have a fryer at the house. We actually use an air fryer and maybe I'll coat something, but there's usually enough stuff in the product that it still crisps up. But the times that I do get it, I know I'm in for a world of hurt. It's not even like an hour or two later, I feel groggy. You just know, you're like, oh God, here it is. Because it's that temptation, like, ooh, I still want to eat the burger and the fries, knowing that there's going to be a repercussion. And again, back to just the way you eat, sleep. I know if I eat after a certain time period that I don't sleep well. I wake up in a certain mood. I'm hungry. And you learn all these things slowly by really monitoring your diet, what you're eating throughout the day, when you're eating, what you're eating, what you're putting into your body. And it's so true that if you just listen to what it's telling you, you usually can remedy it, but you have to be able to take those first initial steps just to listen.
That's absolutely true. And also to get kind of cleaned out is what I call it, so that you can hear. When we're toxic. When our body is congested, we don't hear as well. The messages are kind of mixed. We think we're really craving a bowl of chocolate ice cream or something, and we're certainly not. And so it really helps to do a more strict program to get kind of cleaned out, and then you can hear very well. And yeah, I call them food hangovers. You wake up and think, I wish I wouldn't have eaten that. I don't feel so swift, you know, this morning. And so, yeah, that's your body giving you a loud message. Don't do that again.
Yeah. What does an average day of your eating look like?
Well, so I'll give you my morning today. I make first a wellness shot, and it's turmeric and ginger and lemon, and it's pretty strong. I call it a taste bud exploder, and it's great for the immune system, and it's very anti-inflammatory. Turmeric and ginger have been shown in scientific studies to fight inflammation, and then your lemon has vitamin C, your ginger has zinc. It's a great immune support and immune builder. And then I do a citrus shake for my husband and I with garlic, lemon, and lime juice, and about a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, some water, and ice. You can put some orange juice with that if you want. I keep my sugars lower, so I don't. And blend that all up. It's really delicious. My body seems to crave it, but it's a great liver, gallbladder, gentle flush. And we do that a lot of days just to cleanse and support the liver and gallbladder. And then I make either a juice or a smoothie. I made a smoothie with this today. I juiced up cucumber, carrot, ginger, and chard, and poured it in the juice in a blender and added an avocado and blended all that up. And that was our smoothie. And I usually sprinkle seeds or nuts on top because I like a little crunch. So that was my morning today. People are probably listening and thinking, oh my gosh, I could never do something like that. But you know, you could make a juice quickly before you run out the door, or you could make one the night before, or you could make a smoothie. And I have many people who do that the night before and like take it to work with them or have it on the way to work. I sometimes make eggs as well. I often do scrambled eggs or maybe a hard-boiled egg. I didn't today. Depends. If I work out, I definitely need to seem to need a little more protein in my diet. So I do maybe an egg after I get back from working out. Then for lunch, I often have salad. And last night for dinner, we had a chicken and mushroom stir fry with a lot of vegetables, and that was really good. Tonight, I'm doing a main course salad, chicken curry salad, lots of greens, chicken, and a curry dressing with avocado, cilantro. So we do a lot of main course salads at our house as well. And in fact, that's my husband's favorite thing these days, because he always says, he wants to lose a couple of pounds, and I just feel best on these big main course salads you make. And I do a lot of soup as well.
Yeah, you said salad, and I want to make sure we bring up and talk about people like, I'm eating salad, I'm eating healthier, but what is the dressing you're putting on the salad? If you're opening up the bottle from the shelf, and probably 95% of them are just low. If you look at the back of the bottle, you would just be hard-pressed at how many ingredients are in it. So maybe give some people some easy swap outs that they could do at home versus just picking something up off the shelf.
That question, because yes, dressing is a big place that people fall off the wagon, so to speak. It's like, oh my, all this garbage in there. And most of them are loaded with seed oils too. So I'm glad you said that. I'll give you a couple of brands that have olive oil and vinegar, and that is Bragg's vinaigrette or sesame ginger is with olive oil and raw apple cider vinegar. And I think Newman's Own has one vinaigrette that is just olive oil and vinegar. But I make my own a lot, and it's so easy. You can start with those two ingredients and add all sorts of things, whether it's minced garlic, different herbs. Lemon juice is a nice one with olive oil as well. You can do a tahini dressing that I've done at our raw foods retreats, and people love it. You take about a cup of tahini and a cup of, or half a cup to a cup of water, depending on how thin or thick you want your dressing to be, and then about a quarter cup of lemon juice and a sweetener of choice. And I like liquid stevia, or I use monk fruit as well from time to time, and just sweeten to taste. But if you're using stevia, you only need a few drops because it's so sweet. Blend all that up and you've got a really delicious creamy dressing that is very, very good for you. The tahini, which is sesame butter, is very, very rich in calcium. So it's a great addition to your diet. And people often say, well, I want creamy, you know, I want a creamy dressing. Why can't I have my Roquefort or my ranch, you know? If you do, definitely make your own. But you can make your own vinaigrettes. And then I do a creamy kind of vinaigrette. And you can add a good mayo to that, like an avocado mayo, or I've taken a good mayo. And if you want a Southwest salad, you can add salsa and mix that up with your mayo. And that is a really delicious creamy dressing for like a Southwest taste. So every once in a while, I'll do a taco salad and I'll do that dressing.
And anyone listening, the quick, easy way, if you don't want to buy mayo off the shelf because you're worried about what's in it, all you need is a little hand stick blender. They're like $20, eggs, and a healthy oil. I use avocado oil for most things. Got a nice bottle here. And a couple other things in there, a little acid, a little salt, a little pepper. And you just buzz that up and you have mayo. And so people don't realize how easy it is when it's really only 4 or 5 ingredients, but they see on a bottle 12, 13, 14, 15. I think that scares them away of like, I could never make this product because it's got too many ingredients inside of it to make it. But just know you can make a lot of these things at home, or that's at least, like you said, if you're going to get ranch, make it at home. Get the buttermilk, get the dill, get all the ingredients you need to make it, and then store it in the fridge. It's good for a week or two. You know, make as the amount that you need versus buying it off the shelf, because it's gonna just be better alternative for you overall. Sherry, if a listener takes one action this week after hearing this episode, what do you want that to be?
Be very aware of seed oils in your food and where you're eating out. There are restaurants that are seed oil free. You can find those, get the app, Seed Oil Scout app. You can go to my website, juiceladyinfo.com, and I've got a link for a free trial to sign up. And just like you said, you and your family don't eat fried foods very much. So avoid those fried foods. If you're going to fry something, do it at home with beef tallow or avocado oil that have a high smoke point, and you know what's exactly going into it. But make wise choices when you shop, read labels, look at the products you're buying. And sometimes it's just a simple swap. Like, do I want these chips or these chips? Okay, we're going for these chips because they're cooked in avocado oil or beef tallow. And do I want these crackers or these crackers? Well, I'm going to go for these crackers because they don't have a seed oil in them. So lots of simple changes we can make. And then what oils are you buying, or fats for your family, for your cooking at home? And there's so many choices now with big box stores with better prices. So you can go with avocado oil, coconut oil, olive oil, and just all the way around, be very aware of what you're putting in your body. You know, awareness is the first and best place to start. If you know what made you sick, at least you can make a correction later. But if you don't know what made you sick and you're just clueless, then you can't make those corrections. So now you can unhear what you just heard.
The book is The Truth About Seed Oils. Where should people get it, and where can they find you online?
So this is The Truth About Seed Oils, and Amazon has got it. And you can find me online at juiceladyinfo.com. And if you want to get to the Seed Oils landing page, where there's some free gifts and the connection for Seed Oil Scout, just click on the book right on the homepage. It'll take you right over there. And follow me on Instagram at juiceladysherry, C-H-E-R-I-E. I have a lot of recipes, reels coming out all the time, and about juicing and about seed oils, and lots of tips on health and different things you can do to stay healthier.
Great. Sherry, we'll get all that linked into the show notes so people can easily find all of that. And as usual, be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or check us out at the website, fellintofood.com. And until next time, catch you on the sunny side.